Indeed, it is. And the next hour, of course, we're going to have open lines for you on Coast to Coast AM for the rest of the night. The Olympics underway now. My pal Bob Costas kind of put his foot in his mouth when he said that Vladimir Putin was a great peacemaker. He was a KGB member, Bobby, but we'll talk about that a little bit later on. We're going to come back in a moment with Susan Massino, talk about her work, The Secrets of the Universe, and we'll take your phone calls about synchronicity and the other things we're talking about with her next. And welcome back, Susan Massino with us, The Secrets of the Universe, your call. Susan, in your life, what would you say would be the strangest event that's ever happened? One where you just shake your head and go, I don't know how it happened, but it did. Anything out there?
Oh my gosh. I'll try to make it short. I got assigned to write the AC/DC book by a very large publishing company that I met at the Book Expo that happens every year.
Okay.
I went to the Book Expo in 2004 to promote my book, Rock and Roll Fantasy, which was my very first book that I self-published because I was trying to get a deal and didn't really know how to get one. So I got turned down and got asked to write another book. It was called Famous Wisconsin Musicians, and that publisher brought me to the Book Expo. I was in Chicago. Now it's in New York every year at the Javits Center, but they used to move it around every other year. So this was Chicago 2004. And I'm scheduled for book signing, but I can't sit still. And again, my stomach is telling me to walk around and see who you can meet. Maybe you'll meet a publisher that, you know, that is a bigger publisher and somebody that might be able to help you out. Well, I walked around crazy, like we're talking 600 booths, 30,000 people. It was insane. President Bill Clinton was the keynote speaker that time, and it was huge. And I walked into a booth of books, and the lady that I met was an editor. I pitched her my story of, I self-published this, I would love a bigger publisher, blah, blah, blah. She asked me again what my name was, and I told her, and she said, oh, I was going to come find you.
Oh, really? How about that?
I laughed at her. I literally laughed.
Thought she was just trying to make you feel good, huh?
Yeah, well, I thought, you know, come on. I mean, I was talking 100 miles a minute, and she's just trying to, like, yeah.
Don't blow smoke at me, you said.
Exactly. And she said, oh, I was going to come find you. And I said, yeah, you were going to come find me. And she says, no, really, I was. And she picked up her day planner and handed it to me and turned it around and pointed, and she had my name and my book signing written in her planner.
She was serious.
Out of like 30,000 people that day.
She was dead serious. And then you picked up a good publisher.
I did.
Omnibus, right?
Yes, Omnibus Press.
Yep, good people.
Yeah, I was so excited. I mean, it was just, but that's how I met her. She was going to come find me, and I found her before I even knew she existed.
All right, Susan, let's take some calls, and then we'll talk a little bit more about this. Fascinated by some of your work in the ghost arena. But let's go west of the Rockies. Arturo is with us in El Centro, California. Arturo, thank you for calling.
Hello.
Hi there. You're with us?
Hi. Yes, I'm there.
Okay,
I'm
go ahead.
Yes, I believe that birthmarks and past lives have a common relationship. And I just wanted to see your take on that. And have you heard anything about that type of relationship?
Good questions. Birthmarks and past lives. I've heard many stories where people might have a mark on their face and, you know, they might have been stabbed in the face in another life or something like that, Susan. How about you?
Yes, absolutely. I've heard stories of that, and people that have also illnesses in their present life sometimes is connected to their death or an illness that they had in a past life.
If you look at a picture of who you might have been in a past life, is there a resemblance, do you think, or do the people look totally different?
It depends. I mean, we kind of matched Jamie up with the designer of the Titanic named Thomas Andrews, and when you put a picture up against Jamie's picture, it's pretty unsettling.
And now, the fact that Jamie's 20, a little older, if you hold that picture up to this guy, Would it be even closer? Have you done that yet?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they did that in the TV show, and it's him.
It's him. So you think that's the guy?
Yeah, I do.
How'd you key in on that person?
Well, because he was the main designer for the Red Star line, or White Star line, sorry.
And was he on the ship when it went down?
He was on the ship.
He was on the ship.
He was the one that had to tell the captain mathematically that the ship was going to sink. And he was offered a spot on a lifeboat. He had a daughter and a wife waiting for him, and he refused.
But they went. The daughters went, and the mother.
Or they were not with him.
Luckily. Oh, they were not. They weren't with him. Okay.
Yeah. So, yeah. But he.
So he went down with the ship.
Yes, he went down with the ship. He took full responsibility for it.
Let's go to Carolyn in Festus, Missouri, east of the Rockies. Hi there, Carolyn.
Hi there.
Hey.
First of all, I want to say I really enjoy your show, George.
Well,
I listen to you almost every night.
Thank you. Did you listen to me when I was the Nighthawk in St. Louis?
I'm sorry?
Did you listen to me when I was the Nighthawk in St. Louis? Remember those days?
No, I didn't.
What?
I listened to you the first time when I was in California visiting my brother 3 years ago, and my sister and all used to listen to your show.
Oh, that's
out there.
Okay.
And I said, you're kidding. Well, I came home, and about a month later, I was fiddling around with my radio, and all of a sudden, I got you. And I went, oh, my God, I do get him.
Yep.
I've been listening to you ever since.
We're on 97.1 in St. Louis now. Great. Still cold out there?
Oh, it's so cold.
Yeah.
It's just like now it's like, I think, 1 degree or zero or something like that.
I know my kids
yeah.
are saying, Dad, I can't take this anymore.
Nothing but deep freeze temperatures for 3 weeks.
Jeez. Okay. Well, anyways, you're on the line here with Susan, so go ahead, Carolyn.
Yeah. Listen, yes, Susan, I wanted to ask you, honey, have you ever visited the Villisca House in Iowa?
You know, I've seen that house on television many times, and that is one place I don't ever want to go to. It scares me.
Well, yeah.
Have you, my daughter,
and my son-in-law and my daughter-in-law and my son and I went up there to spend overnight. And I will honestly tell you, it was the most terrifying thing I think I've ever been through.
What happened?
Well, there were so many things that happened, but nothing really happened. We didn't get in there until I think it was like 9:30 or something at night. And of course there's no electricity or anything, you know. And we brought our own, you know, like chairs and things to sit on, and lamps, you know, and things like that. Mostly it was just to sit and to see what we could see and you know, just to concentrate on the house itself. And it was actually a really good experience. But then toward the morning, I guess it was around maybe about 4:30 in the morning, then things really got out of sorts. It was very scary. And my son-in-law, who is a big skeptic, you know, my daughter, myself, and my daughter-in-law were all very open, you know, to anything. But I'm telling you what, we were all out of there by 5 o'clock in the morning. We had so many horrible experiences. It wasn't funny. We had two like campfire lights, you know, and then we'd sit there in this little, what did they call it? Like a sitting room. And there was, you know, the stove that kept the whole house warmed, which of course didn't work. And then there was an upright piano, and then there was the kitchen, and then the upstairs where everybody got murdered. And then the little blue room, sewing room, where the other two little girls got murdered. And, you know, we didn't know what to expect. But I'm telling you what, we got more than we bargained for. I mean, we heard these little girls singing. We heard the piano playing. I'm not kidding you. And I'm pretty objective. I mean, nothing scares me. But I'm going to tell you, I was so ready to get out of there. It wasn't funny.
There are some places, Carolyn and Susan, as you both know, that are truly, truly haunted with all kinds of bizarre experiences. There are some people, as you said, Susan, they'll never go back.
Right. Right, and that's one house. You are way braver than I am, because that's one house I will not go to.
It's not good for business for them, that's for sure.
Mm-hmm.
It's not good at all. Let's go to Iowa City, Iowa. Charles is with us. Hey, Charles. Thanks for calling.
Hello. Yes, and speaking of synchronicity, I told your call screener that I was going to be stopping my car in 3 minutes, and 2 seconds ago, I just stopped my car.
There you go.
I drive and deliver pharmaceuticals to nursing homes at night.
Okay.
So the reason I called is that, you know, there are times in my life when both synchronicity and the feeling of something just happened seems to resonate. And there have been times in my life where I felt, okay, I just died right there. Or I got hit by a car when I was on a motorcycle, and I had just a shift of the world. There have been other times in my life where the universe just kind of pivots around me, but then I come out the other side. And I think that we all have the ability, our consciousness is greater than what we have here right now, and we're perceiving the world. But every time there's a decision or a major nexus, there's a multiverse that branches off there. But the consciousness that's not here with us is in both bodies at the same time. And so I'm beginning to think that, you know, that's why I'm perceiving that this is where I get this feeling that I just died right there. Because in another universe, I did just die right there.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm wondering what Susan's opinion is on that.
All right.
Oh, that's very accurate of what it's like to be aware, and how we are aware in so many different levels that it's hard to explain it, you know, especially like when you go into the dream state when you sleep at night, and how realistic that existence is. And then you wake up and you're back in this world, and it's like, what is the real world? Are we really alive in this world, or are we alive in that one? And that's fascinating to me, and I believe in that very much.
Susan, you need to mix rock and the paranormal. You've got to do a research book on all these artists who died at the age of 27.
Oh, yeah. I'm a huge fan of Gary Patterson.
Oh, I love Gary.
Yes, yep. I read all his books, and he is so good about that. I've had a lot of rock and roll paranormal experiences, believe me. Bon Scott haunted me when I wrote the book.
Well, let me tell you, there's so many strange things happening. No wonder you call it the secrets of the universe, huh?
Just like I said, it's a primer. It's a primer to get people started and to dig for yourself, because it's always interesting.
It's a fun, easy read, too. You make it very easy.
Thank you.
And you got a lot of quotes. I know you got Glynis McCants in there, and the numbers lady.
You are quoted.
I'm quoted. You put me in there, too.
I put you in there.
I didn't approve those quotes.
It has to be over 250 words before I have to ask your permission.
You got that. Let's go to Seth in Arkansas. Seth, thanks for calling. Go ahead.
Oh, man, George. First of all, thank you, Coast to Coast crew, for putting on one of the greatest shows in the history of humankind. You changed my life from beginning to end. It's unbelievable, and I'm so privileged to be on the show.
And more to come, but go ahead, Seth.
Oh, I hope so. I have a question for Susan, obviously. My son is going to be 3 years old in September. He was born blonde hair with the dark blue eyes, just like you describe as the Indigo children. And, I know the Earth is in a really crazy, crazy spot right now, and I have no doubt in my mind that the only justification that the Lord or God or Morgan Freeman or whoever you believe is up there would send more babies to this planet is that they have a reason that they've come here to help our planet. And my question is, if there's any way that I could ask my son about these, you know, his past experiences, or maybe, you know, why he was sent here, or if he even is still aware of that, what's a good age to do it, and what's a good way to phrase it and I can take my answer off the air.
Okay, those are good questions. Susan, can you help him?
Yeah, that's exactly about the age that my son started talking about things, and I taught him at a very early age that we live more than one time, that we are immortal beings. And he used to tell me things that were very funny at his age. He used to tell me that he chose me. And I said, one time I said, "What do you mean, honey, that you chose me?" And he said, he was very sarcastic, actually. He says, "There's windows in heaven, Mama." And he used to tell us stuff. So at that age, you can really start teaching him. You can start teaching him how to pray, how to meditate, how to surround himself with white light and believe that he is protected. You can, and especially when he talks and he starts telling you stories, listen to him and ask questions, because you'll be surprised. You might be thinking that he's talking about something he saw on television, and it could very well be something that he actually remembers.
Do you think everybody, Susan, has reincarnated?
Yes.
At
I
some
do.
Point.
I do, absolutely. We don't, we, one time's just not enough.
And I guess if you divide, let's say you divide 70 years old into 3,000 years, you'll come up with how many times you might reincarnate, right?
Oh, yeah.
That makes sense.
Yeah, it does. And I just think that, I mean, it's hard to say for sure, but I think we're here to love and be loved, and it takes a lot to learn that because it's such an easy lesson.
So you can reincarnate about 43 times.
Unfortunately, yeah.
If you go back that far, 3,000 years. But is there a difference, in your opinion, between new souls and old souls?
Absolutely. There's a book called, there's I think two books called Messages of Michael, or from Michael, and then there is a follow-up. And that really gets into detail on, supposedly there's seven types of souls, there's seven levels in each soul. There, the infant, you know, you have the young soul, the infant soul, you know, the mature soul, the old soul. And, it's pretty amazing, especially with some of these kids. You know that you're dealing with old souls.
We next go to Molly in Louisiana, first-time caller. Molly, go ahead.
Hello, how are you guys tonight?
Good, Molly.
Great.
Well, I'll tell you what, Susan, you've only touched on everything that is important. And, George, you know, to facilitate that is just really a blessing in this world. There was a caller earlier that had spoken briefly about how, people in the, well, I can only talk about the United States because this is where I am, but people have taken on this mantle of just freaking out. I mean, you know, the economy is a mess, you know, this healthcare thing, you know, there's all this, everyone is on every street corner telling you everything that, you know, comes into their heads if you'd only let them. I mean, there's just a lot of diarrhea of the mouth out there, and people just have seemed to lost their mind a bit. And when you bring up the subject of synchronicity, I'm amazed at how many people still, and I'm in a small town, and there's a lot of people that, you know, are still chasing that dollar. But when you bring up synchronicity, there's a lot of people even still that can't slow down enough to grasp exactly what that is.
We're going to talk a little bit more. Molly, hold on. We're going to come back to you right after the break on Coast to Coast AM. Well, why don't you watch our fastest-growing internet-based television program, Beyond Belief? You're going to love it. Paranormal, strange, bizarre. 10 days free, by the way, when you go to www.beyondbelief.com. And we're back with Susan Bassino, our final segment here, The Secrets of the Universe. Let's go back to Molly. Molly was talking about synchronicity. Let's pick it up again, Molly.
That's right. And speaking of synchronicity, it is one of the most important hard and fast laws of the universe. And in so saying, people get really freaked out when they come to grips with the idea that to still your mind, to open your eyes, to intellectualize a few simple facts. One, the outcome is not as important as the right here and the right now and how we treat certain situations. A good example, my mother, she was old and she was very robust in her mind, but her body was failing her. Mm-hmm. And she was one of those, you know, Irish ladies that had a really deep, deep, deep soul and a very, very sort of, I don't know if you want to call it a hardness, you know, it was a hardness issue. She was tough. Life was tough. And from an early age, she hits me to the little people and your intuition and all this stuff, you know. And so I grew up aware of my surroundings and things and to stay, you know, literally, I'm sympathetic enough to get with even people that are mean, and you can even feel evil in some humans, you know, to know to stay away from them and align yourself, you know, with the good people. The caller before was talking about his child and about past lives, and it reminded me of Whitley Strieber's book, Communion, where he actually explains in a very beautiful, beautiful way how souls of the unborn are just waiting for that moment to jump into anybody, the next body that is, you know, available to jump into. And it's really beautiful the way he describes it in the book Communion. So synchronicity has everything to do with everything, and don't count it out. When you have that little feeling, you could be right, but if you calm down enough, you know, and try to just flow with certain situations, they will almost always assuredly work out to the best.
Good. Well said, Molly. Well said. I'm not sure, Susan, if I were reincarnating, I'd want to jump into the first body that I could find. I'd want to do a little studying first. Do we have that chance?
I think we do. I think that we're faced in between lives with the things that we didn't learn. And I think we have everything to do with designing the next life, so we have those experiences that we can learn from.
So many people have talked about the Akashic records, the records of our life. What do you think that is, actually?
I think the Akashic records, I call it the mind of God, if you can call it that. And it's kind of a library to me of every soul that ever existed, and it is connected to numbers because, you know, you have to keep track somehow. And the Akashic records, you know, like Edgar Cayce, the sleeping prophet, he had the ability to tap into that. And I think everybody has that ability. It's amazing.
Let's go to Brian in Wisconsin, east of the Rockies. Hey, Brian, you are up.
Well, hello, Susan and George. Hi. I just wanted to ask Susan to talk a little bit about manifestation. I've got a quick story. In 2011, I had two friends named Dawn and Tammy, who were psychic mediums, and they invited me down to Nashville for a friend of theirs' book release, which was Susan. And on the way down to Nashville, they talked to me about manifestation, and I didn't believe in it. I was the biggest skeptic, but I told them, I said, well, I want you to manifest for me that, because my mom had died in 2009, I said, I want you to manifest me playing a show at the State Theater in Eau Claire, Wisconsin, on my mom's birthday of this year. And we went to Nashville, did our thing, and then on my mom's birthday, December 29th of 2011, I got a call to open up for the Bodines in Eau Claire, Wisconsin, and everything came true exactly how they said, and I just wanted to put that out there and share that experience with you guys.
I love it. I guess, what would you call that, Susan? Synchronicity?
Well, absolutely, and positive manifestation. And thank you, Brian, for calling in. Brian is a great singer-songwriter from Wisconsin, Brian Bethke.
Oh, you know him. Okay.
Yes, right. He came down to, I did a book signing at the Hall of Fame in Nashville for my family tradition book. And if not for Brian and his wife, Sarah, my two girlfriends wouldn't have been able to make it. He drove them all the way to Nashville.
That's great. That is great.
Yeah, it's positive manifestation, and your heart's desire can come true.
I've got to ask you about psychic vampires.
Ooh.
People who draw energy from people, sometimes knowing it, sometimes they don't. How do you ward them off?
Oh, my goodness. I've had so much experience with that. I could write a whole book on it. You have to really be careful. You know, the people that are around you like that, that you can feel that, you know, when you know, they call you or they come over.
They're exhausting.
Oh, my God. And all they do is complain. You know, they want to cry on your shoulder.
This isn't a good day. Da, 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 da. Right?
Yeah, yeah. And everything's bad. You know, no matter what it is, it's bad. And when they leave, you are completely wiped out. You are completely exhausted. And I'm actually divorcing somebody like that right now.
Oh, you are? You're going through a divorce, too?
Yes, I am.
Oh, my.
Yeah.
You've got things going on in your life, girl, don't you?
Oh, it's happened. Yeah. And I'm trying to move to California. So if you can help me out with that.
Well, I'm not going to buy a house for you or anything.
No, that's okay. You don't have to do that, but I am going to try to move to California. My daughter already lives out there, and I've had it with the winters.
Well, let me tell you, California has had some kind of cold weather lately. It's strange. It's been really weird lately.
Oh, yeah, but it's
this whole country. Wow, Wisconsin's cold.
Yeah, it's horrible.
St. Louis is cold. Detroit is cold.
You know, yeah. I don't want another one of these winters. I definitely want to relocate. So,
well, let me ask you this without getting too personal. When you got married, didn't you feel this negative energy at that time?
Actually, we were a lot younger, and we were both on the same page with what we wanted to do with our lives. And as we got older and things didn't work out, I think the way he expected his life to work out, although mine worked out, you know, my career worked out better than I ever imagined.
Right.
That really tore us apart because I was no longer like there as the cheerleader. I was the person that was going to the book signings and, you know, I was in the Van Halen DVD, you know, they flew me to LA, things like that. I really think it got to be a competition.
He did not handle that well.
No, he didn't.
Okay. So he wasn't emotionally supportive when this was happening.
No. Oh God, no. No, I hate to say that in front of so many people, but no.
Well, I know, and I shouldn't dwell on that for you. But you know, I'm just curious when, you know, when somebody's with someone who could be a psychic vampire, if they're a psychic vampire from the get-go, or whether they change.
Right. And I think they do with life, you know, because we got together when we were in our 20s. And you have so many hopes and dreams for how things are going to work out.
That's a long, long time.
Yeah, and he's got a new girlfriend, and I think he's more positive than he used to be, so she's good for him.
Did you ever see the movie The Cooler with William Macy?
Yes, yeah.
Perfect. Perfect example of negative energy.
Oh, my God, and I know. Yeah, you can see him coming from a mile away.
Yeah, I recommend that to anybody. Just get it, rent it, whatever you can do to find it. It's called The Cooler. It's just, it says everything about what we're talking about. Sherry's in Kerrville, Texas. Hey, Sherry, go ahead.
Hi, Susan. Hi, George.
Hello, Sherry.
Hi, Sherry.
I have a question, and it relates to ghosts in actual entities, or I guess I should say hauntings of a physical place. My daughter, you know, she brings out this Ouija board. I'm going, oh, you know, you really don't need to be doing that. They're teenagers, you know, and they're, oh, we're going to have fun with this ghost. Don't you believe in ghosts? And I said, well, my theory on ghosts is some event, you know, that had a lot of energy happened in a place. And if you're sitting on the beach and somebody drops a pebble in a pond, that energy wave, you can see it from the beach. You know, if you're thinking, you know, time, it traveling through time, that energy keeps rippling. And so you think, okay, you've heard of hauntings and it's just like a recording of energy and it just, you know, keeps going looping. It's in a loop. Well, there is a difference when you get a Ouija board and you're trying to contact an entity, you know, something that is in the time and space now, you know, that has a physical energy emanating from it. And there's a difference there somewhere. I remember when I was little, you know, I used to see these little shadow people, and it wasn't until 40 years later, my older sister and I were talking a couple of months ago, and she said, oh, and I never thought my sister would believe in anything, but she told me about an event of this stuffed toy going across the room, and she was like, now where did you see these people? I was like, it was upstairs in the playroom. She goes, that's where this happened. And this is 40 years later.
Huh.
And so if you could kind of discuss that, if you do feel that there is a difference between such things.
Absolutely. That's what's fascinating about ghosts to me, is that you have residual hauntings, which is, like you said, kind of a tape loop playing over and over again. Then you have actual entities that can mess with you, especially through a Ouija board, which I do not recommend.
Good point.
I know, George, you don't like them either.
No, I don't like them. Not that I think they would harm me directly, but I just don't think, I think they're dangerous.
Yeah. I think they let in entities that like to play with you, is what I've seen and read about. And, you know, and then you've even got, you know, poltergeist energy, and that's usually energy from living people. So you have all different types of hauntings, which makes ghosts and the whole world of ghosts completely fascinating to me.
We've got Bob in Camarillo, California, west of the Rockies. Bob, you're on with Susan Massino.
Hey, George, hey, Susan, how are you doing tonight?
Good,
hey.
Bob, thank you.
Well, I've got two questions for Susan. A quick aside, being a native Milwaukeean who moved to California, it's not a bad idea.
Right.
But anyway, I had a question. You know, I believe in reincarnation, but I've always wondered, well, if people keep reincarnating, where do all the new souls come from initially? One question. The second question is, since you're talking about psychic vampires also, if you're, I think I'm somewhat empathic in life, and I think, I don't know if it's like being a beacon, like a lighthouse, attracting people who need some kind of consoling, perhaps, if you've never experienced something like that before. Or,
yeah, that's common, actually. If you're empathetic to energy, they, people that you know, are troubled on the other side that want to come through, or like you said, want some type of comfort, will be attracted to you because you can hear them or sense them. And a lot of people can't do that.
Right.
And then, I'm sorry, the first question?
Well, as far as you know, so reincarnation, I said I do believe in it, and I think I might be an old soul, but I was wondering, well, if people keep reincarnating, then where do all the new souls come from?
Right. And, you know, once I cross over, that's going to be one of my first questions because it's fascinating because I believe positive energy creates life. Love creates life. Dark destroys it. And we have a lot of people I know that reincarnate, but yet, like you said, there are new souls. Where do they come from?
There's a repository of souls out there somewhere.
Yeah. It's That would be my first question if I could ask the universe, you know, where do we come from? Where were we created in the very beginning? That's a very fascinating question.
There was a movie, and I believe it was with Julia Roberts, on souls. And the souls were kept in a place called the Gough?
Oh, yeah.
Or something like that, where they were just all there, like in storage. And they were running out of souls or something like that. It was just...
Oh, yeah, I know. And you really wonder, too, because especially, you know, going to the other side, there's so many possibilities out there of do people get caught? Do they go directly to their destination? You know, why do they stick around if they stick around Earth for a while? So many possibilities.
Next up, we go to Michelle in Harlan, Iowa. Hey, Michelle, go ahead.
Well, first thing I want to just mention is my whole life I've had the opportunity to go to the Villista Axe Murder House, and I was always scared to. Well, my husband that I'm married to now, his grandmother actually lived in Villista, and my first trip there, I had no idea where the house was. As we approached the neighborhood, I knew what the house was because of the tree and the vibes I got, but it really is that bad. The second thing I wanted to ask about is my kids now are older and have children of their own, but my son was very young. He's always chanted, and I couldn't figure out what it was. Well, we have figured out it was Native. We are not of Native descent. Both my children are with significant others, married, and the other one's engaged, and they have children, and all the children are half Native. And it just, it's very amazing to me how this just came into his life at a very young age. And both of my son and daughter-in-law are from the same tribe, different families. And I, my family is just so tied to a Native background, but we're of Asian and European descent for my children. So I just find it very interesting that both of my kids ended up with children. And I have these beautiful little granddaughters that are Native, and they love their music and the culture and the heritage. I just, talking about past lives and how we're so drawn to something that our family culturally is not linked to, and now my kids are experiencing this. So
that's wonderful. Isn't that beautiful?
Well said. By the way, the movie was called The Seventh, I think it was called The Seventh Sign. It was with Demi Moore, not Julia Roberts. And it's,
that's right.
And it's the guff, which is an old Hebrew saying. It's the hall where the souls are kept.
Oh, my gosh.
How about that? You know what? That could all be possible.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Totally possible. That's what scares me.
Eric Lee in Denver, Colorado. Eric, go ahead.
Hi, Susan. Hi, George. Hey. I really appreciate you taking my call.
Sure thing. Thank you.
Mine's kind of a deep issue, but it has to do with synchronicity within myself. And I, you know, I believe in reincarnation. I had an experience right before I turned 19. I was in a really bad motorcycle accident, and I died multiple times in a coma. And I had what people call an out-of-body experience and other experiences where I was up above my bed and I could see people and hear conversations and so forth. When I came out of the coma, I had 100% memory loss, so I knew nobody. And I didn't connect with anybody in my family. They were kind of distant to me. Many years later, I found out because they said I had changed so much. But after that, it ever since then in my life, everywhere I go, every place I've lived, it's, I don't know if you want to call it hauntings. I call it entities. There's a time where I was taking a big glass pitcher off the top of a refrigerator, and it literally came off itself, went up and shattered in the air and came down and cut me in my hand. But there have been, I could literally talk for a long period of time and tell you everything I've seen. I've seen demons. I see auras around people and so forth, but it seems everywhere I go in the place that I'm in now, every time I go to the bedroom, it has a walk-in closet and I hear like shuffling, feet shuffling, running in the closet.
Oh, there's something in there. There's no doubt about that. And you know what? You need to get it cleansed by someone who knows what they're doing. Susan, thank you for being on the program. Where do we get your book, The Secrets of the Universe?
It's on Amazon.com, paperback and Kindle. And you can also go to my website, SusanMassino.com.
Super. And I shall be back 2 hours to go, open lines right here on Coast to Coast AM.